Today is January 7, 2014. This is Desiree Hargis on behalf of the H.J. Lucher Stark Center for Physical Culture and Sports. As part of the 1968 U.S. Olympic Team Oral History Project, today I'm interviewing legendary JoJo White about his experiences in the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City. JoJo, can you begin with, I guess, your birth name and when and where you were born?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm the youngest of six kids.
And did you grow up in St. Louis?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And what is your full name? JoJo's a nickname, I assume, or a shortened name.
Well, my name is Joseph. I mean, it started out with a nickname. And it just kind of, it just hung on.
Yeah.
And JoJo was easier to say and to remember. So I kind of kept that, JoJo.
I like that. That makes sense. So you were the youngest of six, you said. When did you first start playing sports, and what was the first sport that you played?
I've been playing sports. Remember, and I'm being the youngest. I have three brothers, three sisters, and there was always competition among us. I was the competitor. So being the youngest, and I was pretty good at anything that we did athletically. So I had opportunities. Watched my brothers and sisters grow up and took some of the way they grew, and now I added it to myself. So I was very liked competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brothers and sisters were all they love competition too. So they I inherited it from them.
Mm-hmm. When did you first start playing basketball?
Oh, that's ever since I've been about no later than 10 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to kind of make our own basket, made it out of toilet stool base.
Okay.
An old one. Yeah, and I just shoot in a boat, no nets, you have to go and get it out.
Oh.
I mean, that's all my parents could afford.
Yeah. Did you have any sports role models or sports heroes that you thought about when you were first starting to play basketball?
Well, there were a lot. I used to hear about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but I mean, grew up on the West Coast, and I grew up in St. Louis area. So I got a chance to read about it. But the guy that I got to follow in terms of athleticism was Gale Sayers. He used to play football for in the area that I grew up in St. Louis.
Hmm. And tell me about what support structures, I guess, financially there were for you to play basketball as you were growing up and going to college.
Well, there really weren't any. I mean, you found what was available to you, and that's what we competed from or on, we try and find goals that were up, from when we went to school, and when we were out of school, we managed to, find places to compete, when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't to play on a lot of these different facilities. I mean, it cost. So we had to, once school was out or we got an opportunity when there was no competition going on, to be able to play, at certain times that we could play and compete.
Yeah, I see. Tell me about making the 1968 Olympic team. What was the process there, and what are your memories of that?
Well, it was mostly competition. I had grown up and got opportunities to compete. And once I was chosen on the Olympic team, there was some guy, Abdul-Jabbar, didn't compete in the 68 Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I had worked hard to get to that point, and I wasn't going to not compete, you know, because he didn't. And he was one of my heroes coming up. He was a fantastic athlete, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was excited thinking that I might get a chance to compete with him. But he decided not to compete.
That must have been difficult.
It was disappointing. I was looking forward to it, but I wasn't going to because someone else didn't. And I, you know, kind of cared for not compete because they did. It was something that I had an opportunity to, and I wasn't going to not compete. I mean, I was looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's definitely understandable. So with Abdul, I guess you're talking about the Olympic Project for Human Rights and some of the protests and boycotts that were going on surrounding that.
Pardon?
I guess you're talking about the Olympic Project for Human Rights and some of the protests.
In 68,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So your feelings about that, you wanted to compete, but what did you...
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I was not going to compete because of different reasons that other, you know, athletes might have thought were reasons not to, you know, to compete. I mean, I had worked hard and had the opportunity to compete, you know, in the Olympics in 68 for my country, and I was going to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So it was exciting for me.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable.
Yes.
Were there any other basketball players or potential teammates that you knew that decided to boycott?
Spencer Haywood.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Scott.
And they decided to play. They decided to compete.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And so... was Spencer or Charlie, were those your best friends on the team? Who were you closest to on the team?
They were some of the guys that, you know, during the competition of it all, we got a lot closer as we were, you know, once the team was chosen, then we had to train and stuff before, you know, the Olympics came up. So we got a chance to know one another very, very well, mm-hmm. those who made the Olympic team.
What was the reaction of your family and friends to finding out that you were going to the 1968 Olympic Games?
Oh, they were excited for me. I was just excited for being one of the participants that was chosen to play and compete in the Olympics. I was just so excited.
What was the training and preparation like for Mexico City? For example, were you worried about the altitude at all? Were there any specific altitude training methods?
Well, it was in, trying to think where the training was in, I can't remember exactly where we trained. Colorado, I think. It was the same altitude where we trained. That the altitude was same as Mexico, where we had the actual games. I mean, the altitude was the same.
Mm-hmm. So, do you feel that helped you when you got to Mexico City? Did you notice the effects of the altitude?
No, not at all. We trained in the same altitude that we played, you know, in Mexico. So we trained. You know, in that same altitude prior to we were accustomed to that altitude once we were the Olympics actually came up because we had trained there. Alamosa, Colorado.
Alamosa, okay. So before you went down to Mexico City, or maybe once you got there, did you remember hearing anything about student protests in Mexico City or students being shot and killed?
Not once we were at, you know, decided, you know, those players that were going to play. We were weren't even involved in any of that. Our concentration was on training and getting ready mm-hmm. for the Olympics itself mm-hmm. and representing our country.
What were your impressions of Mexico City when you first arrived there? What did you think of Mexico, and what do you remember?
I was just excited, you know, for the fact that, you know, I was one of the athletes chosen to play. And I was just excited about continuing to train and get ready for the actual games.
Mm-hmm. What were the security measures like in Mexico City?
That wasn't even my concern. My concern is to go out and do the job, mm-hmm. you know, being one of the members on the team. You know, our security and all that was taken care of by our country. So, we stayed in the Olympic Village, so we were very protected where we were, continued to train and get ready mm-hmm. for the actual play.
What were your accommodations like in the Olympic Village?
Well, it was like what you just said. It was a village, Olympic Village. We trained there. We continued to prepare, you know, for the Olympics, you know, in Olympic Village in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any family in attendance? Did any of your family members come to Mexico City to watch you play?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, but they, you know, all of the information, they got all the information that they sent back home, but they didn't get the opportunity to be there or to come to one of the games. I mean, my family just, you know, I'm the youngest of seven. So, you know, my parents couldn't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there to, to do the job as best we could, and were excited. I know I was so excited about, first and foremost, you know, being one of the chosen athletes. And I was determined, even though some of our top athletes did not compete in the 68 Olympics, like Kareem and players of that magnitude, but we were determined. Those ones who did make the Olympic team were determined to the best job, and that is win the gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And we did in 68.
Yes, that's right. You did. And I'll ask you about that in just a second. What do you remember of the opening ceremony?
I was just excited about understanding that we were representing our country, being proud that we did, and excited about getting it started.
Did you meet players from other teams or speak, you know, get to know any of your competitors, for example, any members of the Soviet bloc?
Well, pretty much we were, you know, each team had, I mean, everyone didn't stay in the same place. I mean, there were some teams, maybe one or two teams that might have stayed in the place that we stayed, but they were put all over Mexico in terms of where they stayed while they were there.
Hmm.
And we've continued to train and prepare, you know, for when we had to play, you know, the actual games.
Mm-hmm.
So we were concentrated on what we had to do as a team and as individual players, you know, that make up the team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where our concentration was, preparing for each and every game that we played.
Before the games started, which team did you feel was your biggest competition?
Well, we felt that we were our own best, you know, competition. I mean, we felt that there wasn't a team that was out there that we didn't compete against or that we could beat. So we were like working hard on preparing ourselves for what came, you know. What next? You know, one game at a time.
Mm-hmm. Once you did make it to the final rounds and you beat out the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia, what did you think of those teams? Was it a fairly easy win or was it a struggle?
Well, none of them were easy wins. I mean, as you go, because we prepared for each and every team that we came up against. Mm-hmm. So we were prepared to do what we had needed to do, and that was compete, you know, from the individual side and from the team side. So we were prepared. Mm-hmm. I mean, big time for representing our country in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about drug testing in Mexico City, if anything? Do you remember being drug tested there?
Not at all. I mean, that wasn't an issue. You know, we were well protected and with your security and all those necessary things, you know, keeping yourself sharp and being ready to go when it came time for us to play.
Did your family get to see you on TV back at home? Do you remember if there was TV coverage of your gold medal winning game?
I couldn't even tell you. I mean, we were so, it'd be in Mexico Village, and we were, you know, pretty much secure and kind of off from your own in terms of the teams, other teams, and they call it Mexico Village. So while you were still going through it, you weren't really exposed to a whole lot of people because your concentration was on what you had to do as a team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and representing the country and our team.
So tell me about the moment that the team won the gold medal.
We were just excited. I mean, it wasn't that we, you know, were concerned about whether or not we could or couldn't. We were ready for each and every game that we had to play to get where we needed to go. And even though with the boycott and certain guys who would have been chosen didn't because of what was going on around us, we still had the best team that was there.
Mm-hmm. What was it like to receive that gold medal and represent your country on the medal stand?
It was fantastic. That's what the whole thing was about, and to get to that point, and to be waiting, and the team who won the whole thing, and then be awarded with the gold medal. I mean, that was so big. I know it was for me, and I was just very, very excited to be able to represent our country.
Mm-hmm. Did you witness the Smith and Carlos protest salute on the medal stand, or any of the other protests that took place during the games?
I saw some of it, but I wasn't caught up into that. I was just really focused on what we had to do, you know, from the basketball side.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get a chance to go see some of the other competitions. That competed, you know, around us as we did what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the most memorable competitions that you got to go to?
Well, I mean, the track and field mostly. I was very, very excited about that because some of the guys, Carlos and those guys, we knew in competition from where they went to school. And got a chance to see some of their competition during the process, you know, of making the team, you know, from there. In. So, I mean, I loved watching the track and field, the high jump, the different competitions where speed is the competition. So, you know, to see a lot of great athletes be able to do high jump, to be able to do all their different, compete against, different things. When we had a chance to go and see other athletes, you know, compete, because when we were in the gym ourselves.
Hmm. And as part of your workouts in the gym, did you ever do any weightlifting or weight training back then?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not going through it. We, you know, if you did any of that, you did that before you got to the Olympics.
Okay.
I mean, it's a lot of running and a lot of team play and, you know, all that different thing, but not a lot of things about, you know, looking buff and that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
What about before you got to the Olympics? Did you do any strength training before you got to the Olympics?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You do all that before you even get there. So your body's prepared, like Alamosa, Colorado, is where we train. Well, in Alamosa, if you needed that kind of training, you did that before you got to the actual Olympic, training grounds.
Mm-hmm. So once
there weren't, basketball players, you don't want to go there and you're going to lift weights. It's not a strength. That's for the late with the weightlifters, and those are still involved in that.
Uh huh.
We were training to get sharp at the end so we can compete against the talent that we had to compete against.
Okay. So what did you think about what happened to Smith and Carlos, about how they were ejected from the village? What did you feel about that?
Well, that I didn't get too much involved, other than that I read and that I knew our concentration was on the sport that we were involved in, so we didn't get too tied up in other than what we got a chance to read and see. Our concentration was on the sport that we had to compete against.
Mm-hmm. While you were there in Mexico City, Jesse Owens was a representative for the Olympic team. Did you get to meet Jesse Owens?
I didn't personally, but I read about him and I followed as much as I could, while I was there, and then doing the competition, while I was there. I was, admired his ability, his talent, that I saw. I didn't get a chance to meet him personally, but from the outside looking in, he was a fantastic, athlete, and he was a treasure to watch. Because as fast as he was, he made it look so easy, but this is how great of an athlete he was.
Tell me about the closing ceremony. Were you there for the closing ceremony of the games?
No, I wasn't. See, once we ended and won our end, of the competition, we left Mexico. So once we went through the going through that, we had won and stood our line, and they awarded us with the gold, then we kind of didn't just sit around. We kind of got on out of Mexico.
What was your homecoming like? What was your reception back home like when you returned home right after the games?
Pardon me?
What was your homecoming or reception like back home when you returned home right after the games?
It was different for different athletes, because they were from different places. I was went to the University of Kansas. I know all the people in Kansas were excited, to see me once we got back. I was excited about getting back. I'm from and was raised in St. Louis. I was glad to see my folks. So seeing familiar faces and getting back home and sharing what they saw and what they thought about the Olympics were the big deals when we came back in to visit. Just glad to get home.
Mm-hmm. What are your reflections on amateurism as it was in the 1960s versus, what it has become today? What do you think about that?
Well, there are changes, as we've gone, that are still going on. We were going through the process of what the process was of choosing who should be on the Olympic team, and that it was a lot of things going on, that kept a lot of guys out of the Olympics. A lot of prejudices going on in the Olympics. So it's all kind of things that were going on that had a lot to do with what was going on with inside the continuous development, of the development of of the sport itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, competing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there have been a lot of changes compared to what it was like to be an amateur in the 60s?
Yes, there has, you know, in the, I mean, there's rules like Kareem, you know, and I really wasn't, really didn't understand. All I knew, you know, was me personally. Me getting, that was one of the things that I, if I ever got a chance, I wanted to do, and that was compete in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I got an opportunity to, and I did. So, you know, regardless of what someone else might have thought or didn't think, you know, to help them with their decision, I wasn't getting caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I worked hard to get to that level and worked hard to get an opportunity to compete at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to throw it back in there. I was in awe, you know, to be able to compete for my country, you know, at the highest level of competition.
In your opinion, or in your experience, what has been the impact of being an Olympian on your life?
To be considered, you know, one of the best, you know, in our country, and that in basketball that we played. I played all sports, but basketball was my love. So to get a chance to compete at the highest level of competition. I mean, I wouldn't change that for nothing in the world.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the legacy of the 1968 U.S. Olympic team or the Olympic basketball team?
What is the legacy?
Mm-hmm. So what made that team special?
To be able to rise, you know, out of all that was happening negative around you, and still be able to rise past all of that and be successful at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a team. So the team, you know, after winning it all and off the floor, you know, individually and as a team. I mean, I remember us getting together and hugging one another and praying. And thanking the Lord for allowing us an opportunity to compete at this highest level.
So you said, you know, part of it was overcoming a lot of the negative things going on around you, I guess.
Yeah, and some of it we weren't even, you know, other than reading about some of it and hearing about it, some of us weren't even aware of all that was going on around us, you know. As we tried to segregate yourself from negative stuff and try to focus on positive things.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you up a team.
Mm-hmm.
A team has no I in the word, T-E-A-M.
Right.
You know, there's no I in the word. So we try to keep it that way in terms of what our thinking has to be as a team. You know, and get out there and compete as one, even though, you know, the number of players that make up a team.
Mm-hmm. What one piece of advice would you give to today's Olympic hopefuls?
Well, all I can say is it's a team sport, and team is spelled T-E-A-M. There's no I in the word. So when you're working to develop, you know, your development, you know, as an individual player, you still have to remember, you know, you're not only just yourself, you're depending on others as well. So to even though you're going through it and you're developing, it's still about the team.
Mm-hmm. So, JoJo, we've come to the end of my questions. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about and to get on the recording?
No, I'm just proud to even just be a part.
Well,
because you're going through it all, and some of the things that you ask, you know, I think back on all that I went through to get to where we, you know, were able to compete at the highest level, you know, with still some of the greater athletes that at least they were saying they were greater that didn't even participate. And we were still able to go to Mexico City and win the whole thing.
Mm.
So that was huge for those guys, including myself, to compete. You know, even though you know that some of those players who didn't play with you were considered some of your greatest athletes in the country at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the opportunity, those ones who were chosen got the opportunity, we still won the gold medal in 68.
Amazing.
So we were proud and still are proud of what we achieved, you know, during that era.
Absolutely. It's a remarkable accomplishment.
For sure.
Well, Jojo, thank you for being generous with your time and with your memories. I really appreciate it.
Hey, and thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate that, too, as well.
All right. You have a great day.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.